Hi, welcome to Spiritual Warfare. My name is Kay.
Hi, and my name is Teresa.
And we are reading from Dr. David Jeremiah's Book of Hope, Living Fearlessly in a Scary World. And today, we're going to be reading about the principle of divine prosperity. You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success, from Joshua 1:8. This is undoubtedly one of the boldest promises in the entire Bible. To most people today, success means the accomplishment of goals and financial achievement. In the Hebrew language, however, it means to be prudent or act circumspectly. In a spiritual sense, this means letting one's life to be guided by God. Joshua had this kind of success and prosperity. He ran into his share of bumps in the road, and he had his failures. But the great scope of his life indicated prudence and wisdom, and he was a successful man.
That's cool,
isn't it?
Success does mean accomplishments, goals, and financial achievements for most people.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you don't take that into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take it into the grave with you.
No.
It means nothing. When you take your last breath and you're in that casket, none of that stuff means anything.
It does not.
Nothing.
No. And how misconstrued that word prosperity has been.
Yes.
Because in the world, it means accomplishments and goals and financial.
I do want to say, it's very important to help people. It's important to give to people. It's important to have empathy for people. When you're out and you see someone struggling, don't pass them by. Even if you can't help them, at least ask them. I mean, I'll never forget, I was at the store, and this lady had a 2 or 3 year old baby sitting in the cart, and she's standing there crying. Everybody's walking by her. I was walking up to the store, and I said, "Can I please help you with anything?" She said, "That really means a lot to me." She said, "But my husband and I are fighting, and he just went to go get the car, and I'm at my wit's end." And I said, "I will be praying for you and your husband. I will."
Wow.
And I just went into the store, and I'm like, "God, please have mercy. Whatever is going on, don't let her get hurt. Don't let that baby get hurt. I don't know what's going on, but for that girl to be standing there just bawling her eyes out, it couldn't have been good, you know?" So it's important. God wants us to care for people and to help people when we see someone in need. Now, picture this with me. Joshua learns that his new job assignment is to lead these nomadic people against the Canaanites. It's a great promotion, but he fears it's too much for him. Filled with anxiety, he goes into the divine consultant's office, where he is giving these 6 principles to overcome his fear of failure and guarantee his success. He walks out standing straight and tall with a confident spring in his step. He has received a transfusion of courage.
Wow.
That's cool.
Wow. As Joshua came to the end of his life, he gave testimony to the power of these principles to bring prosperity and success to his nation. "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, for not one word of them has failed. from Joshua 23:14.
I know these principles work because I have made them the core principles for my own walk with God. On many occasions when I face the challenges of ministry, these powerful words have given me the shot of courage I needed to push on and find the success God promises. As I write this chapter, I am reminded of the times when I was most afraid of failure. The first was my last year in seminary. I had spent 4 years in college and 4 years in graduate seminary training, and within weeks, I would have to step out of that comfort zone into the real world. I remember thinking, I wonder if I'll be able to do this. What if I'm just not cut out for ministry?
My first assignment after graduating was to serve as a youth pastor and Christian education director at a large church in New Jersey. Those were great days for Donna and me. We hung out with the high school kids day and night and God gave us the privilege of mentoring some of the greatest young people we'd ever met. We still hear from some of them to this day.
That's cool. During the last months of our second year in New Jersey, I began to feel a growing desire to preach. My few preaching opportunities made me eager to do more. We didn't have to wait long for that desire to be met. A longtime pastor friend was building a network of churches in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Out of the blue, he called me and asked if I would have any interest in becoming the pastor of their newest church plant.
With many reservations, Donna and I agreed to visit the church. I would preach in the mother church and then meet with seven families who had agreed to help start this new work. I was pretty certain that God did not want me to do this, but I felt obligated to listen to their proposal.
Really? That's interesting. As we traveled home afterward, we were both overwhelmed with the faith and excitement of this core group of people. And we were shocked that they wanted us to come to lead them in this venture of faith. They gave us a couple of weeks to make our decision, and we ended up taking every single day. As the deadline drew near, I was conflicted. Looking back, I now realize that a big part of my indecision was the fear that I would not be able to accomplish what they wanted me to do. What if we went to Indiana and failed to make the new church a success?
Other issues also clouded my mind. During our visit, I had driven around the area where this church was to be planted. I counted at least 5 well-established churches. And I was to be the pastor of 7 families meeting in a mobile home? That's right, a mobile home. One of the core members of the new church sold mobile homes. And he had agreed to assemble 4 of them into an L-shaped arrangement that resulted in an auditorium that would seat 100 people, with the other section housing a nursery and a few classrooms and a small office.
Wow, that is so cool. I didn't know that. Good for him. If you were driving around Fort Wayne, Indiana, looking for a new church home, would you have chosen the mobile home church over one of the 5 beautiful churches in our part of town? Neither would I. The fear of failure was palpable, and I knew how to get rid of it. Stay right where we were in an established, comfortable church.
With only a few days left before the deadline, I drove to the New Jersey shore and spent the day thinking and praying. It was colder than I anticipated, so I popped into a coffee shop on the boardwalk to get warm. I took my coffee and a copy of the Philadelphia Inquirer to a booth and settled in and began reading a story that changed our lives.
It was an article about Vince Lombardi, the fabled coach of the Green Bay Packers. He had just left Wisconsin to become head coach of the struggling Washington Redskins. It was the talk of the sports world. Why would Lombardi leave his spectacularly successful franchise in Green Bay and move to what was then the worst franchise of the NFL? What caught my attention was a line in the middle of the article, a pullout quote from the coach set in bold type. I have discovered in my life that it is more challenging to build than to maintain.
I finished my coffee, drove the hour back to Haddon Heights, and told Donna that we were moving to Fort Wayne. God had vanquished my fear of failure for the moment.
The fear returned as we spent the next few weeks preparing our transition to Indiana. I believe God had spoken to me that day in the New Jersey shore, but I was still nervous and afraid until we arrived.
When we walked into the little houses where we would live, or the little house where we would live, I saw a sign taped on a kitchen cabinet door.
God's commandments are God's enablements.
To this day, I don't know who put the sign there, but I believe God moved them to do it. It suddenly dawned on me, God wouldn't tell me to do something that he wouldn't enable me to accomplish. Why should I be afraid if God had committed himself to my success? What God did for Moses, Gideon, Jeremiah, Joshua, and others, he would do for me. And he did. For 12 years, God patiently helped me learn to be a pastor and caused the church to grow. When we left Fort Wayne, God approved to Donna and me that the only way we learn to trust him is to step out of our comfort zones into the fear zone and say yes to him.
If you are in a similar place today, may I encourage you to replace your fear of the unknown with hope in God and his word. If there is something God wants you to do, let your actions put your fear to flight. That was really good, Miss K.
Really good.
Well, we are going to end it there. And when we meet again, we're going to talk about hope during a financial collapse. We want to thank you for stopping by. If you were to die today, where would you go?
It's your choice.
God bless.